Chase. What's up, everybody? What's up? What's up? Excited to be here. Who's is that your audio? Yeah. It's like, what's up, everybody?
Dude, I'm getting a, I'm getting a double. Oh, it's because your screen. I think it's your screen share.
Is that your audio?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
What's up, everybody?
Dude, all right.
No, that's on your side, homie.
Oh, it's because your screen. I think.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, this is a good opening. This is amazing.
All right. No, that's on your side, homie.
Yeah, that is for sure, Shane. All right. Hold on. Let's see if he gets it corrected here.
No, that's on your side,
homie. All right. Let's see. Test, test. Yo, we're good now. We're good. All right. Can you
damn it, Shane? Man. Man.
Oh, man. Right. Well, it wouldn't be a live stream without some technical difficulties. Oh, you can't hear me?
I'm going to log out and log back in.
All righty, man. Well, I'm going to keep going with the intro. Welcome, everybody. We will be solo tonight. Just Adam from Beach Bum Exotics as your solo host. No, I'm joking. Shane will be back with us. He is my co-host. But we'll just do the normal stuff here. You can find me on all the normal social medias under Beach Bum Exotics. No E, just the X in Exotics on Facebook, Instagram, Morph Market, all those good places. And while Shane figures out his side, I will give a shout out to our technical producer, Jay, with Greenline Morphs. He produces all the hot graphics and everything for us. Let's see if Shane is back. No. Check your settings, homie. You probably can't hear me, though. This episode about being a it actually is. It was perfect. We were gonna recap the marketing side of all this. Come on, Ted, we believe in you. Oh man.
Radio check.
I can hear you. Yeah, your mic is good.
I don't have any sound, even though you can hear me.
Yeah.
All right. It's on you. You got to carry the show. I'll be back.
All righty, buddy. Oh, man. Well, there we go. I'll announce for Shane. Shane, Small Town Exotics. He has got his own website. It is awesome. Actually, I checked it out the other day. You can find that at smalltownexotics.com. I know he's on the regular socials, you know, Facebook, Instagram. He's over on Husbandry Pro as well. And I think that's the intro that he normally does. So we'll just kind of go through chat and stall out a little longer for Shane here. Really appreciate everybody joining us tonight. We had a good episode last week that I'm excited to recap. But we'll give some shout outs. Ashley, thank you for always being a supporter. Quick into the chat there. Definitely beat Shane tonight. Good job. BT's Radical Reptiles. Second. And good job, Ashley. Jay, thank you, sir, for always being back there, producing some awesome graphics for us and the cool reels. Puts in a ton of work, so he doesn't get recognized enough. So thank you, sir. Heart of the Python, thank you. Got it in there twice. Hit that like button, everybody. Thank you. Shauna, thank you so much. You're always in chat as well. Really do appreciate the support. Who else we got out there? Warrior Garden. Good evening. And I don't know if Shane's going to make it. We'll see. We'll see. But if not, then I'll just kind of keep us entertained a little bit. So last week, I thought was a great episode. I'll just reflect on it, kind of give some of my interpretation. It was a really good one for me because while I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, do that stuff, on YouTube. Hey, let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You can hear?
Yes, sir. I can hear. Nice. What I miss?
Dude, I did yours. I gave Jay a shout out. I'm moving like a speeding bullet tonight, brother. I'm into the recap.
All right. Yeah, man. All right. All right, guys. Thanks for coming, everyone. See you next week.
Yeah, I already did the announcement, everything, man. No, I'm joking. But I did jump into the recap. I was just kind of reflecting a little bit about it myself. But before we jump into that, was there anything that you wanted to cover kind of right off the get-go, or you just want to let me keep going with my thought? Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I won a ribbon. I won a ribbon at a show. Best recessive ball python. Krypton for the win, baby. Krypton for the win. And there was some stiff competition in there. Canova was in there. There was some other big breeders. Yeah, so I'm happy. I actually put a video out on my channel. Some people may have seen it, but yeah, I won. So I had a high OD, red stripe, yellow belly or gravel Krypton. Animal turned out phenomenal. I didn't really expect to win. Honestly, I just thought it would be a little different versus the clown competition. I knew that would be entered, and I won. So cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. I love you. You moved the ribbon over so that way we could see it in its glory over there.
yeah and you know, I know we don't deal with drama on this show, but I'm gonna bring up a couple things. There's been some haters out there.
What?
Some people saying like a Krypton isn't a recessive, it's a double het. And I mean, yeah, technically it's a double het, but it's a visual expression. It's the same thing as a Candino.
Yeah.
It's two recessive traits that meet together and have a visual expression that you don't see if they're taken apart. So it is a recessive. Yep. It passed the recessive category with the three judges, all the people that voted at the crowd, and the competition owners, I guess was the proper term.
Yeah. The show chair. The show chair.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The show putter honors, you know, right. Those people who happen to be genetic people themselves. You know, RGI is one of them. So, I mean,
right.
In their eyes, it was a recessive. So,
right.
Let's quell the hate on that.
And, I agree.
Put that to bed. All right. Second one.
All right.
So there's been about a half a dozen people that come out with the, well, if I would have entered, I would have won and blah, blah, blah. And I have to say something about that. And it might not be so upbeat and politically correct like I usually am. But in my opinion, that's a coward's way of dismissing someone else's accomplishments in order to coddle their own fragile ego so they could sleep at night because they were too scared to enter an animal themselves. Bam.
I agree.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Right. You got no room to talk if you didn't put an animal in there. Right.
Right.
Like, as far as that goes, man, totally agree. You know, that's the same type of person that just, they're always the one, well, I could have done it better. It's like, but you didn't do it. So it just, you know, like could have, would have, didn't.
Then Chris Eaton down there, he brought up a fact when I called him and told him that I won, that I won the very first 15 minutes of lame and I won the very first Reptile Showcase Association. Wow.
Yeah. And your favorite color is red. You're just putting a bullseye on yourself, bro. Everybody's going to come gunning.
Yeah. Small tags. No, but seriously, man, it was a good experience. And, I'm going to compete every time, as long as I have an animal, of course, but I'll compete every time, you know? So it was a good experience. It brought a lot of people in there, voting and all that. And like, as people would come by my booth, I could see the booth where that was at. And I would direct them over there. Hey, go scan the QR code and cast your votes.
Wow.
And all that.
So you would show them what QR code to scan. Are we uncovering some voter fraud? No, I'm joking.
No.
I'm adding more out there. I heard Adam say that there was voter fraud.
No, actually, that's what I liked about the competition. And that's probably maybe one of the reasons I won. So there was no brand names on the animals, and there was no genetics. So it was just the visual appearance as it is. That's all that you had to judge it on. And every animal was in the same kind of display with the same like coffee bean looking things underneath it. So there was no, like, it was fair all the way around. So
yeah. No, I'm totally joking on that, man. You won fair and square. And like, you know, I just, everything you said was perfect, basically, right? If anybody thinks they could have had an animal that beat yours, well, enter it, right? Come out for the competition. That's the only thing that we can say to that, right? And then if you don't agree with the placement of like where animals were for the judging, put on your own show. Put out your own categories, right? You know, or try and get involved. Offer your opinion constructively, right? That's the only thing. Compete, offer constructive criticism. That's how things get better. Things, you know, and how they improve and all that good stuff. You know.
See, you're so much more professional than me, Adam. That's why we make a good team, you know?
What's up, Dwight? Oh, man. All right, man. But congratulations again, dude. And like the Harbins were saying, you set the bar, you know? And that's the way it is, bro. So just keep doing you. Rock it. All right. I love it.
Blind squirrels find acorns too. You know, that's all I can say, you know.
Definitely. All right. Well, there you go. Some good business that we brought up. I'll jump back in. So I was just starting the recap, basically saying that last week's interview was awesome. I enjoyed it. I thought we did a good job. Talking about a few things that weren't on some of the other podcasts, and even some things that were on some of the other podcasts that Megan had already done. But restating it, I think, is really important because it's such good advice. So I've been, you know, been posting some reels. If people wanted to catch kind of some shorter clips of some stuff throughout the show, but And then I was just going to basically say it was an interesting episode for me because I've always just taken a very lackadaisical approach to my presence and marketing and all of that out here. And it does reflect on, you know, like, for example, I think like you're much more well known than I am, right? But you're also putting like way more like effort into branding and getting out there and doing all of that. So for me, it was good hearing it from a professional. You know how it is like when you're hearing it from your friends and you're seeing what your friends are doing, but then you hear it from a professional or somebody else and it's like, you know. So it was a good episode for me for that.
She has a good approach and she has good advice, and it was like a different kind of guest to interview too, so it was fun all the way around. And I think after we did the fire round questions, we kind of like opened up a little bit more, so we might be implementing something a little different in the future. But you're the boss, so I'll stop spilling the beans.
Yeah, no. I agree. Implementing the fire round and then doing it at the end, I think we'll rearrange it and put it closer to the beginning, if not at the beginning. I think that would be fun. It seemed to loosen you and I up as well, and the guest. It was a good icebreaker. So, you know, doing that.
So instead of the fire round, it could be the icebreaker round. Boom.
Yeah. The icebreaker. I like it. Yeah. Low Life Exotics. Yo, what's up?
Oh, we
double,
both
double clicked, bro. Double clicked. All right. I'm going. There it is. What's up? So yeah, I mean, like you said, different type of guest, right? It wasn't focused on projects and morphs and all of that, but still very relatable, I think, to our audience, very relatable to myself. that's what kind of inspired me to start doing, like, I know you and I had already talked about the reels, but like really her message kicked it into gear for me.
That was my plan all along.
Yeah, and get her in here so it gets a fire under me. I see. I like it. I'll take it.
No, good job on those reels, man. They look good. Good job.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, something I found interesting with her is, you know, she does the foster thing and all that, but like she's drawn to retics. And then I don't know if we talked about it on the air or not, but like her and her family decided not to get a hog nose, but they're keeping retics. And I was like, wow, that seems really odd to me, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a little different. You know, most people in that pet category are doing like bearded dragons, leopard geckos, maybe a ball python, but she's doing retics, which I think is really cool.
Oh man, I thought that was amazing, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm a retic keeper myself, so I get it. Once you get one, they are very addictive because the interaction with them is so much different than with some of the other species out there. But I did kind of think that was interesting too. And you know, it's probably just the label of venomous, right? Makes certain people go, whoa, not even gonna touch it. Yeah. Not realizing that like a 16-foot constrictor can crush skulls, but.
Yeah, but there's no venom. There's no venom though, bro.
There's no venom, but we won't go there, right? You know, it's. Hey, with reptiles, this is what I tell people too that aren't kind of used to them. Like, they've survived for so long, right? By developing very efficient ways of killing what their food is, right? So,
right.
Pythons, constrictors, incredibly strong animals for their size and everything. Little hog noses, they're venomous because the little things that they go after, man, that's quite a bit of a sting to them. And it allows right. them then to gobble them up, you know? So, right.
Yeah. And they don't constrict at all. They just chomp like Pac-Man. So like,
yeah,
just chomping and venomating and it works for them.
I mean. I saw, who was that? Was that Catalina Morphs? Or I saw somebody post, their hog nose eating the prey sideways, and it was like it's still learning, you know, and it's sitting there right in the middle of it. I can't remember who it was. I saw it on Instagram the other day.
Dude, it's yeah, they do it all the time. And like you, like when I first started feeding hog nose, I was like, oh, I gotta fix it. No, they walk around, they figure mm-hmm. it out. Yeah, I mean,
oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. But yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
The first time I fed my retic a rooster, she tried eating it the wrong way, not head first. She was like, the legs were folded out, the wings were coming the wrong way. She was going from the butt end forward.
Yeah.
It was me. I thought it was Ashley. Yeah, that was a funny one. That made me chuckle.
Yeah, I've had I do chicks once in a blue moon with my ball pythons, and yeah, they'll like have some trouble sometimes. You know what's weird about them is like, if you're you can't really transfer like rat grams to chick grams. It's going to be lighter in the chicks because they got a big sternum. So yeah. If anyone's listening and thinking about feeding some kind of birds like chickens to your ball pythons or whatever, it's totally doable, but it's a different shape. It's not like a rat. So you actually have to go a lot lighter on the weight side because the breastbone is so big.
Correct. Yeah. Good advice. Good advice actually on that. Yeah, that is true. Feeding the fowl to the ball pythons. Have you had good success rate? I did it a little bit, and more times than not, my ball pythons were just kind of like, you know, they would do it, but not a lot, basically.
So that was when I still had some live feeders as adults here. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed, I mean, all the ones that would eat frozen thawed rats would eat frozen thawed chickens, but the live eaters wouldn't eat the chickens. But I was like, they want live anyway. So I can't really count. Yeah. I can't really count against them. I kind of hoped that maybe the chicks would like dissuade them against the live and they'll be like, yeah, I want some chicken nuggets. And
right.
That would switch them over. Yeah, that didn't work. So maybe if that I would have deep fried it or something, you know, and then
yeah, dude, 100% deep fried anything is good. Just go to the fair. I mean, they're deep fried anything. Oh, yeah, it's funny. But the varied diet, I think, is important. I think it's I think that's an important kind of. I know with the retics, I've noticed a really big difference in them when I vary their diet up quite a bit. The ball pythons, yes and no. I should do better at varying the ball python's diet. You know, at most they may get a mouse versus a rat or something. But
yeah, and like I do weird stuff too. Like I'll make a stew. So like when I do have chicks, I'll have chicks and rats in the same water as I'm thawing them out. So like the scents mingle in, and you know, just whatever. I want my snakes to eat anything is my goal. Yeah. And the ones that don't are the ones that I sell off, honestly. Yeah. Like adults, like if they're like stuck on live and that's all they'll eat, they don't really have a place here because I'm not a live guy.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right. You do primarily all frozen thawed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you do live or just?
I have two little breeding colonies of ASFs just for like scenting, like a special expensive snake that will only eat live ASFs or something. I do have the capability to carry it. But once I get some babies and they eat frozen thaw, that one's gone. Like, so.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
And, you know, just a little bit of scenting or whatever. But yeah. I don't ever go buy live from anybody. Like that just, I don't do it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So yeah. So your ASFs that you breed are the only live source that you would feed if anything. Yeah.
Right. So if something goes off food, I can bring in an ASF and hopefully get it back on and then switch it back over to frozen thawed or whatever. But yeah. You know, for me, it's more of a matter of convenience. It's not like any ethical standpoint or nothing like that. It's like, I like frozen thawed because I got a freezer in my garage and I thaw them out ahead of time and feed on my schedule, not someone else's schedule when they can meet me with live. And then I have to come home and do all the feeding at their schedule. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that. Like, cause feeding live is normally I would be feeding after the show. So I would drop off a container to the reptile shop down here. They pick up from Dean, come back at about 9:00. I get them by 9:30, and then I'm up till like 1:00, you know, feeding.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And feeding frozen thawed, I'll just do that tomorrow. But like, yeah, I do it when I want. Yeah. Do you do the water bucket?
Yeah. So what I do is like, I'll set them out in the morning. I go to work super early. So I just set them out on my Freedom Breeder pull out tables, all the frozen. By the time I come back from work, they're thawed out. And then it's water bucket, but they're iris tubs, like bigger ones. And I just throw them in. I do every, you know, part of my biosecurity. I have like quadrants. So like this one will feed this quadrant and whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah.
But like you mentioned it right there, though, it's like, okay, so since you're doing frozen thawed, you can do it tomorrow when it's convenient for you. That's what I like about frozen thawed, because it's it's convenient for me.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a big win. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just recently started feeding live again, probably about 6-ish months about that now, because the breeding females, I put them on live just to kind of slam them with as much food as they want kind of during that season. And then, you know, now I start kind of backing off on the live and everybody starts getting frozen thawed again. But like my males are on frozen thawed primarily, unless they get picky during breeding season, then maybe you have to throw in a live.
And that's one of the reasons I have my little ASF colony. Like if a male, you know, obviously he's working and he's looking skinny, like whatever he wants a peanut butter sandwich, I'll give it to him. Like, let's keep going here, little buddy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is a place for live. I don't breed like a full setup to feed my whole collection because I just don't have time. I just
I don't have time really much. I mean, you know, it's kind of an excuse. Primarily, it's my living situation. The yards are not really big here. And if I started a rat colony, you know, I worry like the smell might bug the neighbors or something like that. Like, but I could probably do it. I don't know, man. It's one thing.
Yeah, after then, you got to have like one of those vented, like charcoal filtered exhaust fans. And man,
that's
like a whole bunch of headache.
A whole bunch of headache. Yeah, exactly. And I'd have to put AC in the shed because it's just warm enough where, you know, anyhow. But yeah, hey, so with my frozen thawed though, I go directly frozen to a cold bucket of water. I do that for a couple hours and then transition to hot water and then feed, basically. That's my deal. So they're all
do you have trouble like with their bellies blown out doing it that way?
Nope.
That's how I kind of used to do it, but if I let them thaw out for like, I don't know, say 12 hours just out in the room and then just hit them with hot water, the bellies don't blow out. I noticed like if you go too hot with the water, the bellies can blow out. We're talking some sick, disgusting stuff tonight, man. Yeah.
No. Well, hey, for somebody that might be new, right? Hey, this is one of the things we said we were going to work on, right? Like, kind of dial it back. Like, for a new person, you know, this could be valuable info. So I use the shower hot water to fill up my buckets.
Right.
So, you know, that doesn't get that hot, I guess, type of thing. But it brings them up to above, you know, like it would be like I do the water on the shower where I wouldn't want it to be that hot. So it is hotter than like an app, like what you would bathe in, but it's not hot enough that I notice the bellies popping. I mean, I even feed the rats to the retics and those things, they stretch and pull and do some crazy stuff to them and they hold together fine. Right. I haven't.
So
if you're new and you're trying to figure out the water bucket method, if you go too hot, that is the risk, is that it makes the skin get stretchy, and anyhow
it's usually the smaller the rodent, the more susceptible they are to that, because they haven't built up a thick layer of skin yet too, like the mouses and stuff like that. They'll blow out a lot easier than like a medium rat, you know.
Yeah, so maybe that's the deal, is I haven't fed like anything small like that on frozen thaws in a long time. So
yeah,
and then that is true, Ashley. That the snakes get more excited when they belly explode.
There's a good scent in the room. And then another little trick is, since we're talking frozen thawed, so I try. 99% of my hatchlings they'll never see alive. So what I do, what I will do though, is like if somebody's refused a couple times in a row, I'll take some of the ASF bedding, like where the corner that they've peed in, and I'll put that in the water or in the bucket with them and blast it with the hot water. And then it gets that whole rodent smell in with the mice.
That's a good idea.
Boom. Yeah. So a little bit of scenting, you know?
Yeah. That's a good idea, taking the bedding and putting it underwater. I wouldn't have even thought about that. Huh. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I probably carried that over from the hognose, because hognose babies, you got to scent sometimes. So then you start getting into scenting mode and whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of the hognose, I think you've caused me to get a little itch over here, getting the itch for the hognose. Yeah. I've been looking. Yeah. I don't know. You and I were talking like sunbursts before and, you know, some stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool projects, and it's kind of fun coming at it from like this perspective of having like some breeding knowledge with the ball pythons and approaching this now with that kind of knowledge, like, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely helped me out with the hognose, because I started hognose real small and slow, started with babies, you know, 2019. So I didn't make my first ones till 21, just like real slow. But like the pairings I make now I'm more advanced in the strategy. Like I made sables that are double het albino exanthic. So I mean, there's a good project. right there. Yeah, those are like Swiss Army knives. I can go for triples. I either of those doubles, you know, you got sunburst, you got storm clouds, or you got the triple, which is a snowburst. This opens up all the options. But that's like stuff I learned from ball python breeding that I can now apply with the hognose, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that's what I do at night before bed. Scrolling the hognose section now.
So the sunburst and the solar flares and stuff like that, that's what caught your eye?
That is. And then, but I mean, so
it's a great, dude, those are phenomenal animals. I mean,
those ones really caught my eye, but exanthic stuff did as well. Right. So like, I'm kind of riding these two trains, and I gave myself like probably till like around January time is when I think I'll be ready to pick something up. And you know, maybe December ish time. What's up?
So the best selection, because most people will have them produced. They'll come out of brumation and start their breeding around February, March. And then they start hatching May, June, July. So that'll be like your biggest selection time.
Okay.
The bigger breeders brumate throughout the year, like sections of their collection. But you'll have like the most of the community will have them in that like early summer, late spring. That'll be like your biggest selection out there. So just some food for thought.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. Actually, that gives me some more time to save some money, get set up in here and everything like that. Trying to decide like if the retics are going to stay or if they're not, maybe I just keep like, I don't know, man, that's something that I've been debating as well. I do love them and I would like to breed them at least once, but I don't know. You know, I just kind of, I'm not sure if it's the right decision for me. Haven't made up my mind yet on that. So, but hognoses, I know for sure. I'm definitely going to get some of them.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They're cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. Just look around and look at your projects and what stands out to you, you know?
Okay.
Then just come at it like with all your ball python breeding strategy, you'll be fine. And you always got me to ask questions.
Dude, I was like, oh no, I'm going to hate turning this guy on the hognose. I would be hitting you up at like 10 o'clock at night. I almost did it last night when I found something super cool. And I'm like, oh, dude is in bed. If he has his notifications on, I don't want to be the one waking him up like, hey, look at this hognose.
Well, you could just text it to me and then I'll be up at 3 and I'll be like, I'm having my coffee, checking all my notifications and be like, yes, no, yes, no, no, no.
Dude, for sure. Oh man.
And you know, like one of the benefits of hognose, I hear there's a great selection. Yes, there's a great selection in Tennessee. The Harbins have some phenomenal hognose, and they're all like very good eaters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
But so, like a selling point for hognose is like when you brewmate them, you're on vacation, bro.
Yeah, I know. I was telling Heather that. Yeah. I'm like, look it, we get a little time off with these guys. I'm like, the feeding bill will drop astronomically because they're, you know, eating less than a dollar prey items, you know. So
right.
Yeah, they're all the way around. Seemed quite positive. So
right. And let's see what Ashley says, I still think about black and white hognose. I saw at Shane's during Reptiles on the River. The pattern is on the head, almost looked like a skull. Such a cool looking snake. So that's a super Arctic that I got from the Herp and Harbins.
See, the super Arctic stuff I really like too, because I kind of like that exanthic look with it, you know?
Super Arctics are cool, and there's a lot of variability in the way the pattern comes out and stuff like that too. So, that's a good project. And I got to say one other thing about hognose. Like you can tell I love them to death.
Yeah.
The exanthics, they stay exanthic, bro. There's no browning out. They stay gray forever. Like what you see is what you get. Yeah. Yeah. They don't turn brown or yellow later on. They just stay gray.
The melanin doesn't shift dramatically. Nah. That's cool. Nah. That's cool. Oh, that's what it was. So I was looking at some of the toffee bellies, I guess they call them, right?
Well, you're in luck. The Herp and Harbins are toffee belly specialist.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah. Toffee belly. It's a T positive.
Yeah, T positive, and I saw some stuff mixed with the Arctic, and anyhow, yeah, it was some cool animals there. There's just a lot, and it's fun kind of picking a new species that has some morphs and going and trying to learn. Like, okay, yeah, this one goes here. This is recessive. Okay, you know. So,
yeah, there's still some things that are up for debate that, like, there's polygenic, the line bred stuff that some people still say is dominant, and vice versa. So it's still, there's still a little bit of unknownness. So that's what's appealing to me too, you know?
Right, right. Josh.
Josh is ready to chip.
Yep. Trust me, Josh. I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up for sure.
Yeah, I have a toffee belly from them too. So.
Oh, do you? And is that the, is that how it's spoken about in the community? Toffee belly, not toffee. Or is it?
Well, I say toffee belly most of the time, but
yeah. Well, yeah, I want to know how to talk so I don't sound like a noob, man. Like, you know.
No, where you? No, you'll sound good, but where they mess up, in my opinion, is like, okay, you could say het snow for double het, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's an albino exanthic double het snow, but they'll, like, if it's visual for one, say it's an albino het exanthic, they'll still say het snow. It's no longer het snow. One of the visuals is apparent, and it's het exanthic. But they'll still agree. Call it het. Yeah, they'll still call it het snow for like the whole project. And I'm like, no, that's wrong.
Right.
So I guess I can
get on board.
I won't refer to it like no. I,
you won't.
No.
I can get on board though. I get it. Albino het snow.
No. Because it's not het for snow, it's het for exanthic. It's already got a visual albino, but whatever. I'm splitting hairs. You know, I'm hog nose adjacent, so I don't really get in trouble yet, you know.
Josh gave some good advice there. He said that seeing them in person is crucial, the hog nose. Whether you, wherever you decide to shop, try to see them at a show if possible. That's good to know.
Yeah, come at it like how we've been talking about ball pythons, like quality, like visual examples. It matters a bunch in hognose because there's a bunch of variability in like sables, lavenders. So that's like you really want to, don't just look at it on paper and just be like, oh, that's a
this
lavender
gene plugged to the gene.
Right. Yeah. No, it does matter. So
look at the animal. Gotcha.
With toffee belly, for example, because there's lines that are like real, like a real light cream hypo looking kind. And then there's others with more contrast and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. So
it does matter. Okay. All right. Well, good to know, man. You and Josh will be first on the list when I start, writing the shopping list. Tell you. Well, look at us. Cool. We've been blabbing for 40 minutes almost here. You want to, take us into the exciting part of the show, announcement section.
Yeah, so our next guest is going to be none other than the smart guy himself, Charlie from shedtesting.com. And if you've never heard of Charlie, you must be absolutely new or living under a rock. So he is the guy that said, hey, I think I could figure out shed testing in my spare time from, you know, working his normal job. And he figured it out and started a company, and he's very reliable, fastest turnaround time out there. And he collaborates with guys all over the world and all that. So we'll get him on here to tell his story and see what the latest is up to date. You know, he's done some pricing changes, changed some packages around, and I'm still unclear because I haven't done a shed test in a minute. So we'll get him on here and get all the latest, greatest, up to the date shed testing news.
Man, that's going to be a good one. I love the science side of what we're doing, and the shed testing stuff is right top of the science technology that we have available to us as a great tool. Still remember the times when there was a lot of fighting online if that was a super pastel or not. Well,
yeah,
no, you no longer have to fight with your friends. Right. You can hit up Charlie. Right. He'll let you know.
Yeah, and Charlie does a lot for the community too. He sponsors a bunch of people. He goes to shows, and he shows his support out there, man. So I've supported Charlie since the beginning because it's a two-way street, man. He'll always support people that are out there doing good things. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be another, and this is kind of fun, right? Two interviews in a row that aren't just the standard, like, and you know, breeder kind of interviews. Nothing wrong with those because we all love hearing about the projects and you know, all of that. But just, you know, we had the marketer, Morph Marketer, last week, and now we got shed testing coming up. So good job. And just wanted to give you props. You're the one curating quite a few of these interviews for us. So thank you, sir, man. Bringing some good people on board to talk to. So,
oh, well, thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. Again, blind squirrels find acorns, you know?
Oh, man.
Well, that'll be 2026's goal. We'll do a year's worth of interviews, and none of them will be breeders. So we'll really have to go outside the box.
Holy cow, man. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to go make some new friends. Like,
we'll get some lawyers, some insurance people, some contractors to build snake buildings. I mean, we'll go everywhere adjacent. All right.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, Joel can come back because he'll be a lawyer by then. So
yeah.
That's not a bad idea though. Trying to find somebody who could maybe talk about like the business setup side of it, like the kind of the legal side of like, hey, this is kind of, I don't know. Food for thought. Right. Food for thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try to keep on getting interesting guests, fan favorites, unknown people, adjacent people. That's kind of our angle. So we're all learning together. Correct, my friend?
Oh man, totally, totally. And yeah, so if anybody out there listening has a suggestion for a guest too, hey, DM Shane or I would love to hear, because there's lots of people out there that I don't know, you know, haven't met, stuff like that. So if you all out there watching would like to see somebody specific, hit us up, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
My DMs are always open. I check them at 3 a.m. over coffee. So hit me up.
Oh, there you go. Love it. Yep. Same here. Mine are open too. So definitely. Well, man, I know we try and keep these in between ones a little shorter. So anything that you wanted to touch on maybe before we kind of get wrapping up? I know there's one more little segment thing we wanted to introduce towards the end, but all right.
Yeah, man. Oh, see, I already forgot. That's why we work good together.
Yeah. All right, so let me figure out how to share my screen again. And there we go, share screen. Yep, we're going to share that. All right, so we wanted to start kind of calling out to all you wonderful people that join and listen, watch our show, that participate in chat, and kind of do like a top fan call out here. So towards the end of the show, we're going to kind of bring this up and give some shout out. So Ashley, thank you for being number one tonight. Josh, number two. Josh and Alicia, number one, number two and three there. Shauna in there, Keeper Kane at number five. So we'll announce the top five every week. And as this goes, and we'll see where it develops. Shane and I have some additional ideas as we kind of read and these off each week. We'll be tracking to see kind of who's up there in the top running, and we might do something special for like maybe the month's the top leaders or something like that. So thank you for participating. So
thank you, Ashley and the Harbins and Shauna and Kane,
everybody,
Tom, and welcome back, Tom. TR Reptiles.
TR.
So, yeah. So he was out and he's back.
Nice. So, I thought, he used to be a regular chatter upper
in the chat. Yes.
Yeah. TR, man. For sure, Tom. Yeah. Welcome
Remember
back.
Remember he had the YouTube video like where he hatched the puzzle and he did the karate kick or whatever? Yeah. He was like so excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And oh, that's a good, thanks, Bubba. How does one generate XP? Just go ahead and chat in here and it auto accumulates. The one that's chatting the most will have the most XP. So thank you for the question.
Chatty Catalina.
Chatty Catalina. Too funny there. But anyhow, yeah, you know, we're trying to think of some fun stuff for the show and you know, do that. So
and every time Ashley has to answer a question in the chat, she goes up in points. So just keep that in mind, you know.
Right. Exactly. See, even that, Jason, just make comments right there. Earner number one. No one will ever catch Ashley. too funny. Well, all right, man. You know, we try and keep these ones short. We appreciate everybody showing up. But I think with that, let's kind of wrap it up and see y'all next week. Don't forget, Charlie from shedtesting.com is going to be on. If you guys have anything specific that you want to ask him, DM Shane or I, and we'll try and get that in ahead of time. Or if not, if you don't remember to do that, join us live and ask your questions. That one we will be focusing a lot on you guys too, because with somebody like Charlie live on the line, be a good opportunity to get some of those questions asked.
For sure. So yeah, bring some well thought out, intelligent questions and we'll ask them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Reptiles Unplugged crew, y'all have a good evening. Thank you for joining us. See you later.